From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text comes from 1 John chapter 4 and verse 13. We dwell in Him. Do you want a house for your soul? Do you ask, what is the purchase? It is something less than proud human nature will like to give. It is without money and without price. Ah, you would like to pay a respectable rent. You would love to do something to win Christ? Then you cannot have the house, for it is without price. Will you take my master's house on a lease for all eternity, with nothing to pay for it, nothing but the ground rent of loving and serving him forever? Will you take Jesus and dwell in him? See, this house is furnished with all you want. It is filled with riches more than you will spend as long as you live. Here you can have intimate communion with Christ and feast on his love. Here are tables well stored with food for you to live on forever. In it, when weary, you can find rest with Jesus, and from it you can look out and see heaven itself. Will you have the house? Ah, if you are houseless, you will say, I should like to have the house, but may I have it? Yes, there is the key. The key is, come to Jesus. But you say, I am too shabby for such a house. Never mind, there are garments inside. If you feel guilty and condemned, come, and though the house is too good for you, Christ will make you good enough for the house by and by. He will wash you and cleanse you, and you will yet be able to sing, We dwell in Him. Believer, thrice happy art thou to have such a dwelling place. Greatly privileged thou art, for thou hast a strong habitation in which thou art ever safe, and dwelling in Him, thou hast not only a perfect and secure house, but an everlasting one. When this world shall have melted like a dream, our house shall live, and stand more imperishable than marble, more solid than granite, self-existent as God, for it is God Himself. We dwell in Him.
Safe to the rock that is higher than I, my soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. So sinful, so weary, thine own would I be. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. Thank you. come of the noontide in sorrow's noon hour. In times when temptation casts o'er me its power, in the tempest of life on its wide heaving sea, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. Thou oft in the conflict when pressed by the foe, I have fled to my refuge and breathed out my woe. How often when trials like sea billows roll, have I hidden in thee, O thou rock of my soul, thou rock of my soul.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures, and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Again, that's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As Pastor Damasian continues this series from 1 Thessalonians, he brings the final portion of a message called Pastoral Care for a Persecuted Church. The text is verses 1 through 4 of chapter 3. In his concern for the new Christians in Thessalonica, Paul wanted to return to them, but as we've seen previously, Satan hindered him. His heart was so greatly burdened for those believers that he sent Timothy to minister to them, although that meant that he himself would be left alone in the pagan city of Athens. Here we see a demonstration of Paul's deep concern and care for those who had been saved under his ministry. Now here is Reverend Armin Tomassian to conclude this message, Pastoral Care for a Persecuted Church.
I'm trying to pull the picture in your mind and to show you that this man was brought to a point in Corinth where he was almost ready to quit. And in part, I see a connection with the fact that he had sacrificed Silas and Timothy from his own company. He sent them away. And it's because they were not with him. He goes through this dark period. But Paul did it anyway. Because he would do it again. Later on he would do it. He would send Timothy away and so on. It wasn't, didn't stop him from doing the right thing. It was an act of sacrifice, therefore, accommodating the needs of the church, sending Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. And just to underline, no matter how helpful a young person may be in this church, or an older person, it matters not. How helpful they may be, if they can maximize their usefulness somewhere else in the kingdom of Christ, let them go. Send them away. We'll suffer the loss of their presence. We'll grieve over the fact that they're no longer here doing whatever it was that they may have done that we may feel is irreplaceable. But if they are maximizing their usefulness in some other part of the vineyard, may God be with them. Send them away. What an awful condition. You can imagine the church at Antioch. Imagine, and even Paul's reflecting what Antioch did. Antioch, the church is growing, it's thriving, and no doubt in part because Paul's there, and Barnabas. But when it comes to that point of reaching the nations, the Holy Spirit does not come and take lesser men and women out of the church. He comes that I will have the cream of the crop. I will take Paul, I will take Barnabas and send them to the work whereunto I have called them. And no doubt they felt, Paul, Barnabas, really? Do we want to let go of Paul and Barnabas? This whole work is here in large part because of their ministry. It's reached its point that it has because of their ministry. Do we want to get rid of Paul and Barnabas? When they had fasted and prayed, let them go. They sent them out. The blessing of God. That's the way to do it. I trust God will raise up young men, especially. And we'll have the privilege, though it may hurt to see them go, the privilege of sending them with the blessing of the triune God upon them. We have his anticipation, finally. His anticipation. Because in the latter part of verse 2, through the end of verse 4, you will read, the whole reason Timothy was sent to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. Paul always anticipated the persecution of the people of God, and he prepared them for it. And here, as he begins dealing with this whole idea of persecution and anticipating that persecution, he says, they sent Timothy to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. The word establish is the idea of grounding them, preventing them from tottering. Christians totter. They do. Like a lamp that's too tall and the base is too light, just a little top of the touch at the top and the thing begins to wobble. And Christians are like that. New believers particularly. The slightest touch from the devil and they begin to totter and wobble. And Paul's heart is that they might be established, grounded, cemented into the gospel. This was all the apostles' burden. Just one example, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, he uses the same word when he says, "But the God of all grace hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish," that's the word, "strengthen, settle you." But not only to establish them, but to comfort them. The word here for comfort is that parakleto, is the calling alongside. It's the idea of standing beside. And the noun form, as some of you may know, when you hear that word, that the paraclete, with reference to the Holy Spirit, whose work is to be the comforter of the people of God, according to John 14. And so the paraclete comes alongside his people, and he comforts them continually. And this is the work, therefore, of Timothy, that he was to be a conduit of the Spirit of God directly to the church to comfort them, to come alongside them and to comfort them concerning their faith. And what's the reason? That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. I don't want anyone to move. The word "moved" there, again, a very interesting word, only found once in the New Testament, has the idea of the wagging of a dog's tail. Of course, because of that graphic image that it brings, there's all sorts of ideas as to what the word kind of really means as you begin to mine it out. But without getting into all of that, the essential understanding is this: it's in contrast with being established. You don't want anyone to be moved. You don't want anyone wagging back and forward. You don't want any instability. We want them to be established, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. It's wonderful to see God's people standing in Christ, standing in their afflictions, standing with joy, regardless of what the enemy seeks to assault them with. No matter what is coming their way, they stand. That's why, listen, young people, that's why always appreciate and value the aged brethren and sisters in the church, always. Because they've stood. And you get alongside them and you ask them, they may confess to not standing as well as they would have hoped to have stood. And not really going on perhaps always the way they would have wanted, but they're still there. They're still there. They're still standing. They're here. They're worshiping the Lord. They're rejoicing in His goodness. They're contributing where they can in the kingdom of Christ. They're standing. Never, ever think that a light thing. We know not whether a Demas lingers within the heart of any of us. Not moved. Established. Just to say again, this is why you respect the word of the older brethren. Because they have stood for years. And that's your goal. That's your goal in life. It's not happiness. Though I trust God will give you much happiness and joy. But far more important than any of those desires that may first spring to mind is that you stand. And you know the older you get, that's the one thing you just hope for, that you'd still be standing at the end. Always comes to mind when any of the Lord's people step into eternity having a good testimony. They've done it. They've essentially done it. They have got to the end faithfully. That is not a small thing. All hell has broken loose against them at various times to try to prevent that from happening. So that's your goal, young people. That's your goal. Your goal is to get to the end. And I don't know when that will be for any of us. It may be when you're 25. It may be when you're 85. It may be when you're 105. But that supersedes everything else. So when you see those that have stood the test of time, you want to learn from them, listen to them, understand what helped them and what hindered them. The Lord has certainly prepared us for the afflictions. that no man should be moved by these afflictions. Paul, why do you say that? Why do you go on to say, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto? Well, for one passage, Jesus said in John 16:33 to his disciples, these things I have spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Outside there's all sorts of tribulation. In you there's peace. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that's very comforting. He has overcome the world. Which begs the question, why not then suppress the tribulation? Why not, Lord? Why not suppress the tribulation? If you've overcome the world, suppress the tribulation. But no. He has willed it. He has willed it. He sovereignly wills it for us. Because it's glorious to him to see the tribulation afflict the soul, and the soul and Christ stand fast. Was this not the whole argument around Job? Hast thou considered my servant Job? Well, actually, I have. You put a hedge around him. You put a hedge around him. I would have him if I could. The Lord says, okay. Do whatever you like. Just don't take his life. Whatever you want, try. Why? Why does that happen? At the end, God is glorified. He is magnified. Satan did his level best, as it were, to try and destroy Job. And he stands, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That no man, I'm sending Timothy, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. That's not step 45 of a 50-step plan of teaching Christians. It is right at the beginning. You've come to Christ, you will be afflicted. Verse 4, for verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. Paul emphasized this in his ministry. We know this. A summary of his ministry as he makes his way back in his first missionary journey. What's the summary of his ministry? Acts 14:22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. That's the summary. Did he deal with the doctrine of justification by faith alone, in Christ alone? Did he establish them in the doctrine of sanctification? All of, of course he did. But it all encompasses around this. What is it to be justified? It is to know Christ and continue in the faith. And how is that sanctification manifested? That through much tribulation we enter the kingdom of God. That we are purged and we are cleansed. And we are separated and made more like unto Jesus Christ as the Lord brings tribulation into our lives. The persecuted church. In some way or other, every church is persecuted. The devil's tactics vary depending on the season and the circumstances. He works within the boundaries of the sovereignty of God. If he could have the world in utter chaos like it was prior to the flood, he would have it there. But he can't. So he works with what he has. Presently in America, it's not great persecution to the degree that we're scared to meet here for fear of the authorities coming in and ending our lives. We're not there. So he works within the boundaries of what he's got. So what has he got? Well, he has distractions and materialism and ambition and employment, and he has whatever he can use. As well as the sense of, well, look at the way the world is today. You know, everyone today is saying there is no God. And let's persecute them there. That you're a fool to believe the Bible from cover to cover. He used that. And every other means he will utilize to torment the church. Always tormenting the church. I told you before. We should suffer tribulation. Time is gone. I end with this one point of application. In light of this week on our VBS, It was very clear, it is very clear from this passage, that the kind of evangelism that goes into a city, goes into an area, preaches the gospel, walks away and doesn't care about the people who are influenced or affected, it was not the evangelism that Paul was about. He longed to get back and to strengthen the disciples. And in all your interactions with the children, with the parents, whoever it may be that comes in this week, if the Lord opens up doors, connections, friendships, conversations, if hearts are changed, lives are touched, follow it up. Follow it up. That's what Paul so wanted to do. And that's what we must therefore do as the Lord enables and gives the opportunity.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.